All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is Jim Dingman. I'm the secretary of the PNB Programming Committee meeting, or the Programming Committee in general. And tonight we're going on and having a meeting. It's Tuesday, May 21st, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the Programming Committee. But before I do that, I'm going to take the roll call. So I'm going to start with that. Leslie Bethune. Leslie, are you there?
From which stations, please?
Oh, good. Thank you, Mansoor. Leslie Bethune from KPFT.
I'm having trouble unmuting.
We hear you now.
We got you,
okay.
Man. Okay. Shira Dedman from KPFA.
I'm here.
Okay. Jim Dingman from WBAI, I'm here. Donald Goldmacher from KPFA. I gather he's on another committee meeting tonight. Wally James from KPFT.
Here.
Here, okay. Clive Malia-Mock from WBAI. Okay. Michael Novick from KPFK. Michael, are you here? Okay. Not here.
Hi, sorry, I'm back.
Oh, okay, thank you. Lawrence Reyes from KPFK.
It's Reyes.
Reyes. Is Lawrence there? I guess not. Okay. Mansoor Sabah from KPFK.
I am Hazir.
You're here. James Thagerton from WBAI. Okay. Jim, are you there? Murray Will Smith from WPFW. Okay. Not here. Nancy Sorden from WPFW. Michelle Manos from KPFK. Michelle, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you. Tom Voorhees from KPFA. Are you there, Tom? Okay, not there. Venetia Williams from KPFT. She's not there. All right. And Carol Wolfley from KPFA?
Yeah, here.
And Maxie Jackson, Executive Director of Pacifico?
Present.
Okay. Now, just to let people know on the stream, we're sort of getting these committees together, and by the next time we meet, we probably should institute the policy of you have to attend. If you miss three meetings, you're gone, because we don't want to have that delay us in getting quorum. So just keep that in mind. We're sort of being flexible tonight because we're still getting the whole thing together, but I wanted to just keep that in mind going down the road. Once we get the officers' election for the chair, the secretary, and vice chair, then we'll start being a little more formalistic about that because we want to make sure we can meet, and not having quorum prevents us from doing that. Now, I'm going to appoint a timekeeper. Who volunteers for that?
I did.
Okay. Carol. Now, I have an agenda here. I would like to allocate 10 minutes to debate it or add to it in any way people want. People can go over the agenda and look at it. Does everybody – I guess Michelle just came on the line here. She may not have the agenda.
Could you read the agenda, please?
All right.
This is Michelle. I'm on the line by phone, but I could pull it up if it was emailed to me. Do I have it by email or no?
You probably do not, but it's probably better. Maybe Mansoor can email me your email because I'd rather not have your email go out on a live stream, okay? But I'll read it out.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. the first thing we're going to talk about is an idea Shura suggested last meeting, is to everybody to talk about for about, I don't know, we could decide how many minutes. I've allocated 20 minutes to this. Reports from each station as to how they're going, what's going on, what's strong and good about going on each station. Shira, was that more or less the spirit you had in mind when we discussed that?
Yes, yeah. The idea was just so we could all sort of have a meeting of the minds.
All right, and I'm just curious.
I'm not meeting minds, but common info.
And maybe we could allocate, I don't know, if people can maybe want to object to us, 5 minutes per person. Someone from the station will just allocate 5 minutes to each station and just sort of do that and be disciplined about it, 4 or 5 minutes, something like that.
Can I just add one quick thing, Jim, just in terms of what my intention was? Add that it wasn't that everybody has to share. It's just more of making sure that we allocate for any actual updates.
Fine. Okay. So then what I'll do is I'll read out each of the stations. Unfortunately, we don't have affiliates because I was thinking about that. That'd be actually interesting for us to hear from the affiliates. But I'll read out each station, then, you know, people volunteer to jump in. I was going to give a short, very quick report on resolutions. There are resolutions that I will send out to you guys that were passed by the previous committee that, according to all the different MACAs on the PNB, those are still in play. So these motions were passed by the committee last time before it went out of business, and they're still to go up to the PNB. So I will send those out to you. What you're going to see here now are resolutions that were not passed. The first resolution, which I've allocated 15 minutes to, reads as the following. Whereas the entire Pacific network faces many issues as to sustainability and resilience to grow and become fiscally stable and programmatically successful, be it resolved that the PNB in general and the PNB Programming Committee in particular will be given the latest radio research consortium data and specific financial performance records of the marathons in order to intelligently be able to make judgments about programming. All station management will share past information on programming statistics and marathon totals to be better informed that in adopting policy and formulating policy by the PNB and the PNB Programming Committee. The second, and I've allocated 15 minutes to that. The second issue is a debate we've been going has ongoing about podcasting policy. And the gist of it is that the foundation will adopt a policy that will be forward-looking about podcasting policy. And it says, whereas the Pacifica Foundation must join the development of podcasting as a new form of audio production, and whereas the Pacifica as a network has much strength in entering the constantly growing podcast field, the foundation will implement a policy of developing podcasting as a separate form of content delivery with all the stations in the network. This will be developed and will begin to be implemented network-wide by December 2019. The policy of podcasting will apply to all shows that are currently on the terrestrial radio schedule at each station. Each individual show will be required as they go forward to develop their shows as podcasts. All future shows that are created to be broadcast on the analog radio signals will be required to be also produced for podcast distribution. All shows will be evaluated as to their compliance with this policy. Attention will be paid to be flexible with the implementation of this policy, as different skill and resource levels may act as constraints in uniformly implementing this policy. Common sense and intelligent management will prevail when difficulties are encountered in getting the process moving forward. A separate and independent podcasting channel will be developed for new content only that will be separate and distinct from the current analog schedule. It will be developed as new content and given robust support. This will be done at each station at the network level and will be flexibly implemented as new conditions and circumstances arise. At every local station, alliances will be made with ongoing podcasting companies in efforts to use this form for audio delivery. And again, and then there is a requirement that on a quarterly basis we get implemented reports on this, and it will be reported to the PNB, the chair of the PNB, the ED, the program committee, and this will be considered part of the evaluation process for management locally and nationally. The other resolution is on surveying. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation is in constant need of constant flow of information at the grassroots level as to how people are reacting to its programming, pro and con, and nationally as to how the public is thinking about its content, be it resolved that by August 2019, this has to really start soon, the following measures shall be implemented to improve the quality of programming concerning how people in our respective signal areas are reacting to our programming. The management, local station boards, and local community advisory boards will work together in composing surveys that will be directed to get a better sense of what is working and what is failing with the audience as to their reception of the entire local grid of programming. Staff and listener input will be encouraged to provide vitality to all these types of surveys undertaken. Surveys need to be modified as new issues arise. Every premium, mail premium goes out, can include surveys. We can use online services like ServiceMonkey, et cetera. And this information will be available to the PNB, LSBED, and the PNB Program Committee, as well as being helped and implemented with the help of the community advisory boards in each station. All the information that is gleaned from this data, you know, unless it's something that completely freaks somebody out, will be open and transparent. The third resolution is
Carol to the stack.
Yes, Carol.
So are we going to read all these and then discuss them, or what's your thought?
My thought is to discuss them, and we'll allocate a certain amount of time to each of these proposals. If other people want to come in with other proposals, please add them. That's my thought.
Okay, so right now you're just reading them.
That's right, correct. I'm just reading them. The next one, basically this is a proposal to use all the networks and our affiliates to cooperate together and support for International Day of the World's Indigenous Peoples on August 9th, a program, the same, taking the model of May Day, which, you know, may or may not, everybody has different opinions about how that worked at KPFA, but using the August 9th International Day of the World's Indigenous Peoples to put together a video and audio streaming collaboration nationwide and affiliates-wide that would be broadcast or put on the websites of every station as a joint effort. And people would be volunteer to do this. We have indigenous shows in various stations, plus we have 800 indigenous radio stations in the United States. I mean, there could be all sorts of amazing things that come up with that. The next proposal is something that Carol suggested. Carol may come up with a different idea about this, but, you know, we're constantly faced with this situation. You all in California have these forest fires going on. We have the issues of flooding in the plains, you know, a constant barrage of the global climate change issue coming in front of us. So what this encourages is a joint operation, intrastation, and including the affiliates, that would be to create a video streaming means and, of course, using analog radio as possible to do a monthly national network-wide report and analysis of the ever-growing climate change crisis. And this could be, you know, collaboratively done. I put a whole bunch of different things, issues that people could cover, melting ice, disruptions to food supply, the disproportionate effects of this throughout the third world, et cetera. But that would be one initiative. The final initiative is to deal with this presidential election. In New York, I've been talking to people about it, and what I'm proposing here is that we, whereas the ongoing 2020 election is rich for weekly coverage by the network as a whole and its affiliates, be it resolved that the Pacifica Foundation immediately set up an intrastation video audio streaming multimedia terrestrial show that will involve and be open to all the stations and affiliates to begin creating a video streaming show that will explore in depth the ramifications locally, nationally, and internationally of the ongoing 2020 presidential election in the United States. Now, this could be established by putting together a PNB task force that will work with the PNB Programming Committee, but the aim is to get something in motion by the end of June using this new technology. So those are the initiatives I put forth as part of the agenda. Please, if you have other things you'd like to talk about, obviously we're going to go till about 10:55. And if people have other things they want to initiate as resolutions or issues to talk about and amend this, please let me know right now.
Hi, this is Michelle.
Yes, Michelle.
I'd like to talk about the ways in which we ensure that the programming adheres to the Pacifica mission statement. Is that up for discussion?
Sure, of course. So you would like to discuss the ways that the you would like to discuss the adherence programming to the mission statement.
Yes, thank you.
Carol for the stack.
Yeah.
So, Michelle, do you have like a proposal or a specific like focus on that?
I'm actually driving by pro-abortion rights access protest right now, so I might have a lot of background noise.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't have a proposal. I just, I want to open the conversation because I think a lot of what we're doing, you know, can always feed back to our core values, and so I just want to make sure that's part of the discussion. If this is sort of a basis for how we're gonna, from my understanding, we're sort of deciding together how this thing is gonna be built. And so, I'd really like to make sure that we're sticking to our core values in addition to these other things we're talking about.
Thank you.
All right. May I suggest then that we allocate 15 minutes to discussing, sort of philosophically, the question of mission adherence in scheduling content. How's that? Is that reasonable?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and maybe practically also, not just philosophically, Jim.
All right. I'll put that in, that's actually something interesting to talk about. Maybe to start with, for 15 minutes, I'll put that at the top of the agenda. How's that? Does anybody else have something else they'd like to talk about along these lines as we go on?
Well, Shira, I think, had a threefold proposal, and part of it was that, this is Carol again, part of it was that we do an update from our stations, that we share information and work on proposals.
Right.
And the third part is to use some time to actually educate ourselves about issues that we want to be learning about. I know you've sent out a lot of material, Jim, but is that correct, Shira?
That's it, especially after we talked to Maxie, and he seemed to really want that to be a part of what we were doing, was, educating ourselves so that we could take that back, too.
All right. Well, why don't I suggest that we already have that up there on the first 20 minutes along these lines.
Yeah.
So you guys can help lead us with discussing that, you or Carol or Shira. You guys can, sort of take control of that. And, in fact, I would ask you to lead on that, and then we could start off the meeting with that, and then I would suggest we insert this discussion. I just want to make a quick two-minute comment on the resolutions issue, and then perhaps we can deal with what Michelle wanted to talk about, which is the question in a general thing about the philosophical issues of content. We could do that after report on resolutions, and I'd like to get into the nitty-gritty stuff about programming data and other questions like that. Is that reasonable?
To me, also.
All right. All right. Does anybody else have any issues they'd like to raise, or resolutions or discussions they'd like to have us to do tonight?
This is Maxie.
Yes, sir.
Later on, I'll update you all on recent conversations with the Radio Research Consortium and what's going to be happening. They're going to be presenting a webinar to the program directors this Wednesday, I believe, or Thursday. I don't remember the date exactly. Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so I'm just going to run through and kind of give you guys an overview of what that's all about. But
all right,
that can be fixed for then.
Why don't I suggest that we do that after we do the philosophical discussion, because then we're going to get into this question of programming data. And
yep.
How many minutes would you need for that, man?
Probably no more than 5. I mean, you can
okay.
give me 10 just in case there are questions.
Okay, sure.
But my presentation will be a few minutes.
All right, so we'll do the philosophy discussion and then a metaphysics discussion, which is important. Then we'll have 10 minutes. Epistemological. I'm not being facetious. I think Michelle brings up a very important point. And then we'll have Maxie talk about the questions with RRC, which are practical ones. And then we'll go into the stuff I've laid out here. And then that's where Shira and Carol, I want you to sort of be relentless about keeping us in mind when we run out of 15 minutes and 20 minutes. We have to vote to extend for 5 minutes and stuff like that. Does anybody else have any suggestions or motions they want to make? Going once? Going twice? Okay. Are there any objections to adopting this as the agenda we're going to do? All right. Hearing none, let's proceed. All right. So I'm going to first start with the station roundup. And as I said, Shira and Carol, it's in your ballpark now.
Shira, do you want me to talk a little bit?
In terms of education?
About station roundup.
Oh, yeah, no, please do, thanks.
Okay, I do have a general report from KPFA that we can send to you, but I think some of the general things are that they're continually working on the technology and upgrading that. They're working on how to, you know, keep track of staff and staff hours, and they're also working on developing a system for podcasting. They're working on some new things with the internet. They have a specialized I'm just looking for my – here it is. Okay, hold on. I couldn't find my notes. The general manager says that he oversees the strategic planning for the station, the website, social media services, campaigns, and interacts with the staff. And one of the things I'm going to skip down to, KPFA has been granted an autonomous systems number from the American Registry for Internet Numbers, ARIN, which allows KPFA to be an autonomous node on the internet. We've expanded our contacts with providers to begin providing internet service as a thank you gift to donors, expanding our network capacity to bring more services and platform in-house, and allows us to have autonomy and capacity to build the systems for the future. And KPFA app, they've secured a developer to build a podcasting membership radio app for KPFA in 2019. They're switching to Hindenburg as an editing tool and going to test back with the staff to see how that works. And those are just a few of the things. The operations department has an internship program, and they're training people with operating on a board, engineering studio recordings, editing, KPFA special and regular programming. We're having a Memorial Day scheduling of programming, and just wanted to comment on, we have not Indigenous Peoples Day in August, but we do both the sunrise ceremonies at Alcatraz on Thanksgiving. So those are some of the things from the report, and anybody else have any other things that you want to report on from KPFA or other stations?
Shira, do you have anything to add?
Sorry, I'm like looking for my mute button. No, I have nothing else to add. Sorry, that's why it took me so long. I'm like, where's my mute?
I have a question for Mansoor. Mansoor, I understand that the GM at KPFK wrote a general manager's report. Do you have access to that?
Yes.
Could you send that to us so we could just get a sense of what's going on at your station, and do any other stations have a GM report that we could be looking at?
Sure. As soon as he makes it public, he's working on a public version of it. I will send that one out.
Thank you. Do you want? Can you send it to Jim and then he'll forward it, or send it to everybody?
I'll send it to committee.
Yeah. Do any other stations have GM reports?
Just point of clarity from Maxie, if I may.
Go on, Maxie.
Yeah, I'm just curious. We're asking for GM reports. Why not PD reports? Are they not provided, given, or is that not of interest? I'm just curious as to why we want GM reports versus PD reports.
Well, I was saying GM reports just because I don't have a PD report, but I do have a GM report. I'm interested also, Maxie, not to exclude PD, but also to look at the technology and some of the ways that we're using our infrastructure and developing our infrastructure, which may be a little bit more GM.
Noted. Thank you.
And I noted the PD part.
What's that?
And I noted, you know, the possibility of having reports from program directors from each station.
Yeah, I think that would be quite useful, and you could encourage them to include the type of material you're talking about in terms of any technical innovation that's taking place and that kind of thing. Just a thought.
Yeah.
All right. Does anybody have, what about KPFT? Is anybody from KPFT online?
Yeah, this is Wally from KPFT. And
what's happening?
Well, we've had some changes in the schedule, and those are, you know, still being working their way in, and we have the HD channel, and a lot of people doing some good stuff there, and they're doing ongoing work on the podcasting. Right now, our interim general manager was the program director, so he's kind of wearing both hats right now, and so he's, you know, kind of overworked, and plus we're in pen drive. I guess that's about all I got off the top of my head.
Okay. Anything from KPFK, Mansoor, and Michelle?
No, not at all.
Okay. What about PFW? No one's on the line from PFW? All right. I will talk a little bit about BAI. I think that the fundraising drives are pretty difficult. They have to be extended because of the amount of money coming in each day, so they've been very arduous. And I think that this is one of the things we have to work together on to figure out what is needed to be done to make programming more effective and more attractive to gain more audience and listeners, and hence out of that the percentage of people who will be compelled to donate. And I know I don't want to get into numbers, but it's been tough. Tough is being polite. I did spend most of the day working with people who are turning the Mueller report into a broadcast. And so that was quite challenging to watch. I spent 6 hours with people today at the Actors Guild, and they plowed through one-third of the first volume of the Mueller report. But it was sort of trial and error, seeing what works best to turn it into a performance piece. But I have a feeling that once we start getting further into it with the great talents of the New York artistic community, we can come up with some interesting stuff. At BAI, they're still basically not getting master control. They still need money to get master control under operation. There have been program changes. I think it would be better to have the PDs come in and talk about that. I think that it's important to have report to the listeners as often as possible. And I think that that's a policy that should be sort of regularized at each station. It used to be like that at BAI many years ago, but, you know, it's not done. And sometimes these things can be done as a Potemkin village. And I think that it's better to have people come in and get on the air at a regular period of time, a certain first or third Monday of the month or something like that, regularly, and, you know, deal with the public. Have them talk and complain. And yes, of course, some people will call up occasionally and be the same people, but I think it's important to have that. The people in the station have been working pretty hard. It's a problem with not having as much equipment as one would need, but people are trying to do it as best they can. So that's basically
that's 2 minutes, Jim.
Yeah, I'm done.
I have a question for Jim.
Yes, sir.
Can you give a little history for myself and perhaps any others who don't understand or know about it? This notion of, you couched it, but presenting to the audience about programming on the air. What's sort of the background, the genesis of that? What's the philosophy and what's the purpose of it? Because it's a highly unusual practice in media. I'm just curious as to why we do it. I'm not against it or for it. I'm just curious as to what's the genesis and what's the purpose.
At BAI, there would be in the past regular reports to the listener. I don't know how other Pacifica stations handle this. But there were reports to the listener where the program director, when we used to have department heads, at one point there was an arts department, a public affairs department, et cetera. People would get on the air, and the general manager would get on the air with them, and they would do a report to the listener, and they would talk for about an hour or 45 minutes, and then they'd spend the rest of the hour, the next hour, receiving phone calls from the listeners. And they would normally do it at a scheduled time. You know, it served the purpose. It served the purposes of having a safety valve, if you will. But, you know, it was sort of maybe, I don't know if other stations do this, but this went on in New York for quite a long time. And the practice of it, the frequency of it essentially has diminished quite intensely in the past 10 years. But when there are sort of crises going on and things like that, the management will come on the air and talk to the audience. But that was done periodically as sort of, okay, you want to call up and give me hell? Here's your chance. And sometimes it would be, you know, people would raise interesting questions about what was bothering them. And so
That's time, Jim.
That's something that went on in New York for quite a long time.
All right. Thank you. All right. Can I ask a follow-up real quick? And I really can open this to anybody. Is that still necessary considering all of the online ways that people can communicate their concerns express themselves about programming. And secondly, maybe you answered this, but I didn't hear it. What is expected to be delivered in that presentation?
Bit, Bethune on the stack, please.
Yeah, Leslie, go on.
It's in our bylaws. Supposed to do a manager's report every month with at least so much time to allow the callers to call in. It's a great outreach thing. It's open and transparent. I'm all for it. It's a shame that we quit doing it, actually.
Okay.
My opinion.
Thank you for that. And I was just trying to get a grasp, you know, as to why it's done, but that makes sense to me. So thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Carol for the stack.
Go on, Carol.
Yeah, we don't do that at KPFA. Part of the problem is that there tend to be small pockets of people who are very attached to, you know, maybe a program that has severe problems or isn't doing well, or there may have been personnel issues. So when there are situations where there are cancellations and people are mobilizing, they can be very negative and aggressive in the way that they approach things. And I'm not sure that we want to highlight that as a station on the air. I think there are ways for people to provide feedback, but I'm not sure we want to engage in that and give people a platform to talk negatively about the station.
Michelle for the stack.
Go on, Michelle.
So I think that there's a middle ground to what we're talking about here, because the solution to negative commentary is not to shut down commentary, right? But there are several ways to utilize social media to get this feedback that we are looking for. Social media feedback will come whether we ask for it or not, but it's incumbent upon organizations to set up structures that actually welcome and capture that feedback and analyze it later and things like that. So there is a difference between, you know, social media pages that are unmoderated, where nobody goes and reads the comments or anything like that, and social media pages that are very intentional and useful for the organization and really do maintain a relationship between the community and the organization. So those come in the form of like live streams with pertinent people within the organization where you're encouraged to ask questions. And those streams can be moderated so that the comments don't get out of control. If they become vitriolic, you shut it down, you block that person, you reach out to them later to open a private conversation and see if you can address what their concerns were. That's just one way to utilize social media to capture the feedback and still maintain control over the optics of the situation, which I understand are very important.
Very useful.
Anybody else on that? All right, this is Jim. I'd like to comment on that. You know, the station, when the Civil War was going on in the 90s, which I was very much involved with, when we successfully overthrew the old Pacifica National Board, one of the things that was in that fight was that they were always distancing themselves from the listener audience and, to some extent, the staff, because there were the part of the divisions we see in the PNB now are reflections of that, those battles that went on 20, 30 years ago, unfortunately. But one of the things that was very important was that the average, you know, you had a certain hardcore of listeners who wanted democracy. You know, they would throw this in your face all the time. And part of it was sometimes it can be a little self-serving, but on the other hand, some of it was quite valid because people had a certain different sense of the ethos of Pacifica based on
what they had experienced in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and particularly the 60s, which is the key highest point of audience in any Pacifica station or the whole system. And so that carried over into the battles that were waged in the 90s that led to the old board being toppled. So the reason that's in the bylaws is towards the end of that fight, the management, you know, did things like, you know, sent cops, security forces into KPFA and shut it down, caused a huge furor, and that kind of distance really, really alienated lots of people. So those are the reasons why those things are still sort of looked on, and I do think it's important to have people-to-people contact. And having phone calls and talking to people, admittedly, as difficult as it can be, I think is an important part of what makes us unique than other places, you know. And social media is good, but it just you need that personal touch too.
Thanks, Jim. That's time. I'm not sure where we are on our timing on the agenda. I've been timing people, but I haven't been tracking our overall time.
All right. Well, I think we're probably well past 20 minutes on this. So does anybody else want to talk about anything that has to do with reports from the station or Shira and Carol? Do you want any other things to be touched upon before we move on?
No. No, thank you.
No.
Okay.
Me too.
All right. I'm just going to report quickly on the resolutions. The resolutions I will send out to everybody. There are two phases of them. Part of them are the ones we didn't pass. You can look at them and chuck them or do what you want with them. The second part were passed, and they have to go up to the TNB. And, you know, we had some, as Maxie knows, we had some pretty interesting long conversations about all ramifications of these policy issues, which we probably will revisit. But I will send you the ones that have passed. You can look at them. And they have to deal with all sorts of things in terms of working with universities, intermingling social media, et cetera. So that's what I wanted to say about that. Now, I guess the next thing we're going to talk about is the issue that Michelle was raising, correct? Michelle, you're the next in line to talk about what you wanted to say about the question of adherence to mission programming. And why don't you kick it off by saying what you want to say about this, what your thoughts are.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily want to lead the discussion. I'm happy to take my lead from, you know, folks who have been doing this much longer than I have. But like I said, it sounds to me like we're doing a bit of a reorganization, a relaunch, and a gathering of ideas. And, you know, being a newly elected board member, being someone who comes from the grassroots, and I consider myself, you know, a servant of the community, I am going to use my space in these opportunities to make sure, as you said, that we stay connected to the community, that we are here to, you know, really save Pacifica. And I really think that our mission statement is important, so I would recommend maybe, I don't know, if we read it out loud and then just talk about the ways in which we're going to build an infrastructure that is true to our core values.
All right. Does anybody want to add to that?
Yeah, this is Maxie for the staff.
Yeah, Maxie, go on, man.
And I hope this, what I'm about to say, fits with what was just said to some degree. I think it's obviously noble for anyone to serve on any Pacifica committee. And I'm not saying that facetiously. It's a service that should be useful and valued by all members of Pacifica. With that said, I think it's really important that this specific committee, the programming committee, distinguishes itself in terms of what its purpose is with respect to creating policy versus defining programming. You have professionals hired at every station to execute programming.
Correct.
You have volunteers who are supposed to be creating content on a weekly basis, if not more frequent, germane to the mission of the organization. But I think having been, you know, part of Pacifica for 6 months, there's a tendency for this committee, in my opinion, to overstep into trying to program the stations. And I want you all to either discuss that fine line so that you either don't do it or define yourself as an agency that has that act, that active voice. But I think that's an important conversation piece for this group to discuss, because I think it will define what you decide to discuss moving forward, and that includes several of the motions that are in front of you. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Anybody else to the stack? All right. I'm going to read the mission statement, and that'll be quick. If anyone else wants to join in, let me know. The mission statement, as we know, was done after World War II. And the mission statement says this: to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. To establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible, one or more broadcast radio broadcasting stations licensed by the FCC and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934, as amended. In radio broadcasting operations, to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and the producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. In radio broadcasting operations, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters widely affecting the community. So that's the mission statement. Does anybody want to
thank you for reading that mission statement. I think it, in terms of figuring out what our purpose is, I think really honing in on where we see in the mission statement what statements, which statements cover programming. And I think that that will help guide us, specifically in terms of what it means to set policy or guideline or oversee the programming that is out there.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else want to comment on this? All right. I'm going to jump in. I agree with Maxie and don't agree with Maxie. You know, I've been around for a long time. I've seen a lot of changes, a lot of similarities, a lot of discontinuities and continuities for 30, 40 years. I think that one has to respect and, you know, learn from the skills of people who are professionals, who we employ, and who are part of our system and who oversee the management of the stations. Where I don't agree is that I don't necessarily think that they are always right all the time, and I don't hesitate to say that. Now, I know in other stations perhaps they don't have that feeling, but I know in New York we do. Now,
I think that the clashes that occur all the time is that people will talk about the mission statement, and then they'll use the mission statement to justify their own self-interested perspectives. Or they'll say, well, you're not adhering to the mission statement, or you're not doing this, or you're not doing that. I always point out that if you see that part of the mission statement that deals with arts and culture, I would argue that most of the stations don't necessarily do that in a robust way, and I'm being very polite about that. So I think that we have to have a middle ground of tension and a dialogue between those kind of sensibilities. And remember, there are people who've been on the air in these stations for 30, 40, 50 years and who actually are professionally employed in broadcasting. So they have a different perspective about this than other people do. But so it's a big mixture of people and it's sort of an unusual situation to be in. But I hear what Maxie has to say. Most of what Maxie argues I agree with 100%. Sometimes I will not agree with it, and I will be the first one to say that. So anyway, that's my two cents on that.
Maxie, the staff.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you all should know Jim and I have a love relationship. We deeply respect each other and love to have the banter back and forth. And I mean that sincerely. We get along very well. And it's a healthy exchange between the two of us. So I want to just lay that out first and foremost. The issue that I'm really raising here is I think it's important that any committee of the board recognize that its function is really about policy. So I think things that should be discussed are things like holding program directors accountable to certain reporting. I think things that should be discussed are things that would inform programming in the sense of doing community engagement work or ascertainment work to explore new demographic opportunities in our markets. I think that mandating that our program directors utilize Radio Research Consortium audience analysis data and tools should be a policy that is implemented. I think that, you know, we should put out goals respectful to the notion of our stations providing a public service in different ways that are not only articulated in the mission statement, but go actually far beyond it. I actually think this mission statement needs to be refreshed, not discarded, and certainly not. I'm not saying anything necessarily needs to be taken out. I think there's some things that could be added to it to make it even more robust at this point. As you mentioned, it's a pretty old mission statement, still relevant, but could, in my opinion, use some refreshing. So that's when I talk about this notion of us sort of staying in our lane, it's recognized that, you know, our real purpose is to create policy and hold people accountable at the station level. That's really what the board is supposed to be about.
Carol for the stack.
Go on, Carol.
Yeah, so I think part of it for me is our responsibility is to think about where we are in the world today. What's happening around us in the world of broadcasting? Many independent broadcasting organizations have gone bankrupt and bombed and are no longer there. So Pacifica is still going. So that tells us one thing. What is the environment? So we need to know. We need to have some sense of the political environment and the technological environment. So content and the capacity to get the content out and then produce the content and the capacity to promote the content. So it seems to me, and that's the building, so it seems to me like part of it isn't micromanaging programming and saying which program needs to be on or the air so much to me, but it's like saying, okay, these are important issues, and when we read this part that says, you know, having full distribution of public information to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same media, that's an important thing. And also, you know, to promote the study of political and economic problems and the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonism. So these are, this is giving us a little bit of a roadmap, and I think that our job is to look at all those three areas and to see what we can do. I also want to say, oh, if I can have one more sentence. I think we have to be careful not to barrage or avalanche the PNB with motions, because they have so much going on right now. So I think we have to think about what are the key things, what are the key proposals that we want to make to the national board, so we have a chance of getting them passed and actually getting them implemented.
Well said.
Thanks.
All right. Are there others to this back on this?
Hi, this is Shira.
Go on, Shira.
I just want to say that this is only my second call, but that it's unfortunate that it seems that we spend a lot of time on theory. And I do hope that maybe we can, by the end of the call, kind of come up with some way, a little bit more about how we work. And with that said, I'm listening to everybody. I love the comments everybody's making. And that if this is a national board, then we have to look at things that can be implemented nationally, you know, at the local level. And so, I think that's why when Maxie talked about policy and guidelines, I don't think that any of us can, you know, are really in a position to do, I think, how do I put this? Like, implementation really goes down to locale and what they know can work for their own station. So all we can do is really, like, look at things like what can we put in place that really keeps us relevant and keeps our reach going, and what we know can be implemented at the local level. And so if we can just find a way to start moving things like that forward, I think, you know, we'll be awesome. But I think that if we sort of keep getting bogged down in what we just know locally, that's what's happening, instead of like really looking at a national umbrella, these conversations are going to keep just going around in circles. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Anybody else to stack on this before we move on? Michelle, want to add some more comments to this?
Hi, thank you. I was just going to let it be what folks thought about it, but since you asked, I just want to thank, you know, the members of this this committee for being willing to have the conversation a little bit. I want to agree with what was said about focusing on all the changes that need to be made and all the work we need to be doing, and just underscore what was said about using this time to set a roadmap and set our intentions. So thank you very much for the conversation.
Anybody else? All right, sure, I appreciate that comment, and it's important to get us back into focus on things we can do. There's always going to be these tensions and arguments about implementing policy and differences of policy. It becomes inevitable in this situation because people are approaching this from different perspectives. But it's good to get us down to bare brass tacks about what we can really do.
Please mute somebody.
And Michelle, it's very important to have that kind of thought about this, because people use the mission statement and weaponize it according, and my experience is pretty long in this. I've watched people use it any way they want to justify whatever they want. One thing I know they do justify it to use is not to have to actually limit the kinds of information that people can get, because sometimes it may not be some ultra-left point of view that may not have all the right answers. I mean, that's the problem sometimes in the way we use the mission statement, because it's used to stifle debate and conflict and drama of discussing issues. And one of the things I always hear most from people who get annoyed about Pacifica is they feel that there's not a way to debate and argue with people who have different points of view than some of us may have.
So I think we're kind of over time on this topic.
Fine. Okay, let's move on to the next thing. All right. Now, the resolution on programming data is put forward through the following reasons. And I'll read it again quickly. Whereas the entire – basically, this is resolved that the PNB and General Programming Committee in particular will be given the Radio Resource Consortium data and specific financial performance records of the marathons in order to intelligently be able to make judgments. Now, frankly, I'm able to see that data in New York. I see the RRC data. I see the dailies coming in from the marathons. I can make my own judgments about what works and doesn't work. However, if we're talking about programming nationally and talking about throughout the whole system, I think it's important for people in this committee and the PNB to be able to understand the Nielsen ratings, the Arbitron ratings, not to say that it's the silver bullet, but it is important to understand and also look at what works and doesn't work in the marathons, because usually when you're evaluating shows, one of the great criteria that you need to do and use is you have to say, okay, is this working in terms of raising money or not? And it gets pretty basic like that. It puts the sport in resolution. Anyway, any debate on this?
Yeah, I'm. This is Max to the staff.
Yeah, go on, man.
I think it's dangerous. Let me not say dangerous. I think we overemphasize the ability of individual shows to generate revenue during the marathons. I think the most important aspect of analyzing whether a program is successful is its audience performance. And I think the fact Pacifica stations have not been using any measurement tools for the most part. All the stations are now eligible for it. They all are receiving it now. PFW is maybe an exception to that, but they should be online any day now. And there's even some software that we're going to invest in to upgrade and allow us to look at every individual hour, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But to me, the fact that we place so much emphasis on the fundraising element is because we don't have data to be able to tell us accurately and reliably how many people are listening to each show. And what's inherent in knowing your audience performance is understanding how the flow of your day influences your programming hourly and every hour upon every hour. This is what's called programmatics. It's understanding how to use the data, the analysis of the data, to schedule your entire programming schedule more appropriately. It allows us to move programs around to better fit them, perhaps with like-minded programs or shows that have more a greater affinity. And I think we'd have a much better understanding of why certain programs perform financially better than others, in addition to knowing whether people listen to those programs. And the other thing I think is important.
That's two minutes, Maxie.
I'll be real brief. I'll close it up. Is most program directors, even though they get quarterly and monthly data, when you analyze the success of a program, you're usually looking at it from 1 year to the next. It's year to year. You're looking at it from a seasonal perspective. Spring books are very different than summer, very different than fall, very different than winter. And so the ability to analyze the performance of a program from one spring to the next is how you determine if a show's increasing audience or not. And we've never had those tools, at least in the time I've been part of Pacifica. Those tools have not been available. And I would argue that having a more holistic understanding of programming performance, both fundraising, audience flow, and audience reception to it is as important a formula as what we – I'd say it's more important than what we're doing right now.
Carol says it's stuck.
Go on, Carol.
So, Maxine, we don't – I wonder if you – do you have access to the data that's available right now? And is it possible, Maxie, to send that to those of us that are on the programming committee so we can look at it?
Yeah, so I'll answer that question. The individual stations get their data individually. So anyone who is part of an LSB should be able to get audience data from the program director or the general manager for your station. Once you have your eyes on that, you can certainly assess some things. But again, none of our stations can give you year-to-year analysis. And I would argue without that, you're really not getting a complete and accurate picture of the performance of programming.
I guess what I'm asking is it possible for you to ask people, the station managers, to send that to those of us that are on the programming committee?
I can certainly look into that. The data is proprietary. One of the things I think I've always been warned about with respect to the committees is they have a tendency to leak information.
Mm-hmm.
And this data really isn't supposed to be public. And it would be problematic if people made it so.
I see.
I can certainly provide, you know, perhaps presentations for this group on certain calls that would give a bigger picture of the entirety of the network now that all five stations are getting data. But I think the more reliable approach is the one I articulated first, and that's for you to ask the program director to share that information with you and perhaps even to go over it with you. And that can be done at an LSB meeting. That can be done at an LSB meeting. I would, and even a CAB meeting. It can be done at a CAB meeting.
Yeah, I think because we're, like what Cher was saying, where we're looking at the national, I love what you just said, that maybe you could give us some kind of overview of what you're seeing when you look at the national data. You know, just some sense of what kinds of programs are getting a lot of attention in what signal areas and what kinds of programs are not doing as well, and just like any trends that you see to give us some kind of overall view would be really helpful.
Yeah, but what I'm really saying is that it would be very difficult for me to do that at a national level to give you trends like you're articulating, because unlike traditional radio, more mainstream radio, including NPR stations, our program schedules are what we call patch quilt. So they're all over the place. And so it's very difficult to look at anything we do and get reliable trends from it. It really is a program by program analysis, with the exception of perhaps Democracy Now! And some of the other syndicated programs that, again, aren't even carried across the entire network. Democracy Now! Probably is the only program we could really analyze across the board and say, this is how it's performing on the network, this is how it's performing across in each station, year over year kind of thing. It would be very difficult to provide the kind of analysis you just described, although I do think I can certainly provide you with a more broad understanding of whether our stations are growing an audience, if they're performing at a reasonable level in terms of their numbers, in a more gross, if you will, or macro level. We won't be able to do some more fine details until you've got a year's worth of data under your belt.
All right. Anyone else back on this?
Sure, to Zach.
Yes, sure.
Thank you. So here's what I'm thinking. You know how we talked about having station updates? And it seems like we're being told that it needs to come from a program director. like they'll have that information. Is it? I hear that you're saying like the data or whatever is proprietary, but my question to you, Maxie, is would it be possible to get a top 10 from each station and with a notation about what its scheduling looks like? So like if it's, you know, block or what did you call it? Staggered. I apologize if I didn't use the right terminology. Like a notation about what type.
I can see what I can do. Yeah, I will definitely put a report together for you all. It will be.
No, I'm saying even if. Okay, cool.
I'll do my best to accommodate what you're asking for.
Okay.
So, all right.
Thank you.
Is anybody else?
Carol to the stack.
James to the stack as well, please.
I would be curious, like Maxie, when you look at the music programming versus the public affairs programming, what does that look like? What does it look like on the weekends? Is it dropping way down on the weekends? Even some questions like that, or like when you have a marathon for, not a marathon, but special programming for International Women's Day, for us to get a look at, did we increase our listenership that day, you know? So just some basic analysis of some of the things that you're seeing when you see it.
All right. Like I said, I'll do my best.
Thank you.
I hesitate to make a promise only because I haven't seen exactly what they're looking at and how detailed and granular I can get. So once I know that, I'll have a better picture.
Do you get it, though? Do you get them, too?
No, I don't.
Oh, wow.
No, but the stations will provide it to me, though.
Oh, good.
Before Jim jumps in, does anybody else want to talk about this?